especially good to be here to praise Yahweh, to give Him all the glory and honor, especially this high day of unleavened breads. I got it right today. I watched a documentary here recently, and if you can imagine the Greek Colosseums, they had all the seating around, and of course there was activities down below, but I saw many Colosseum of sorts. It was like a theater because they had speakers that were actors that would come up on stage, and then there would be the seating. But what struck me was what they called these actors. Do you know what they called the actors in Greece? They called them hypocrites. And we know that Yahshua also called the Pharisees and Sadducees hypocrites. We know that they were not only hypocrites, but that they were also leavened. But what does leavening mean? It doesn't really mean sin, but it can sure lead, and I think does, lead to sin. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Where we find the Ten Commandments, a standard for us and how we should be living. I'll just go through these rather quickly, but the first commandment is, you shall have no other Elohims before me. This is Yahweh speaking. Two, you shall not make for yourselves an idol. Number three, you shall not take the name of Yahweh your Elohim in vain. Fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. Five, honor your father and your mother. Now, I might mention in Luke 3:38, there's a genealogy there. And guess who is father of us all? Yahweh. And of the mother, you read in Galatians 4:26 that the heavenly mother is the Jerusalem in heaven. So we have a heavenly father and a mother. But going on to the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. Seven, you shall not commit adultery. Eight, you shall not steal. Nine, you shall not bear false witness. 10, you shall not covet, which covers a lot of ground. But is it possible to do a flip-flop on these 10? You know, the first one listed, I would think, would be a priority, as well as the second one, and going on down. The first five are actually defined in one statement, going over to Matthew chapter 22. You turn there with me. Yahshua's own explanation of what is really important. Chapter 22, starting there in 36. A lawyer came to him. Verse 36, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? What's really a priority? What should we really be concerned about? Verse 37, he said to them, you shall love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, with all your being. This is the great and foremost. It's ahead of the others. It's the foremost commandment. And it goes on to say that the second is like it, but it's still second in line. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend or hinge the whole law of the prophets. So it's all tied up. If you look at the Ten Commandments as foundational, we see the first five are really the great commandment to love Yahweh, because all five are pointing upwards. The last five are pointing outwards. And we don't neglect the last five. But there are those that don't necessarily put Yahweh first. Let's go over to Jeremiah 5. Jeremiah 5 and verse 26. says, "For wicked men are found among my people." Does this happen today? They watch like fowlers lying in wait. They set a trap. They catch men. Now, Joshua called on the fishermen. He did, and said, "I'll make you fishermen of men." Well, Satan also makes certain men fishermen of men, but in a way that takes them away from the truth. And we have to be careful. Acts 20 and verse 29, if you turn there. Acts 20 and verse 29 says, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves," not just wolves, but savage wolves "will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves, men will arise, speaking," what? "Speaking perverse things." Why? "To draw away the disciples after them." Occasionally we have people coming through, they visit the different assemblies, they travel, and they, interestingly enough, and some of them are teaching different things than what we believe. Yet they come here and they gather with us. But they'll take you aside. They've taken me aside and they say, "Hey, I believe everything that is taught here except," or, "I believe most of what you teach, but," and they show something else. Beware of wolves. Beware of false teachings. What are these days representing for us? We are to beware of the leavening in fact, let's go over to Matthew 16. The leavening of false teachings. Matthew 16, and starting there in verse 6. "And Joshua said to them, 'Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees.' They began to discuss this among themselves, saying," he said that because we did not, didn't he say that because we didn't bring any bread? Said Joshua, being aware of what they were thinking, aware of this, said, "You men of little faith, why do you discuss among yourselves that you have no bread? Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets you picked up? Or the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many large baskets full you picked up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak to you concerning bread? But beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." What is leavening? False teachings. And we're told by Joshua himself, "Watch out, beware." I believe brethren should come together. Don't get me wrong. But not to compromise Yahweh's word. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. What does it say? What are our instructions? It says, "I exhort you, brethren, in the name of our Master Yahshua the Messiah." How important is this? "That you all agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind and in the same judgment." What's going to judge us? Isn't it Yahweh's word? How careful should we be about handling it and about living it? Now, we're coming here today to worship. Why are we here? Is it just to fellowship, or is it really to worship Yahweh? Is it to do the things that He tells us to do? It says, "Be in agreement and be of the same mind," same spirit. This is what we are striving for, in spirit and in truth, not in syncretism or in ecumenical teachings. We are to get the leaven out. We are not to accept it or to allow it to be taught to the brethren. Our literature here, I believe we will all agree, is pure. Pure teachings. based on Yahweh's word. We need to keep it that way. And we need to be here for the purpose of pure worship to Yahweh. Unadulterated, undefiled, unleavened. What was one of the main things that the Apostle Paul taught those under him? 1 Timothy, chapter 1. The epistles, as they're called. Letters to Timothy and Titus. 1 Timothy 1 and verse 3. As I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. Second Timothy 2. Well, yeah, 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Let's just touch on a couple here. Be diligent. Be careful. To present yourself approved to Elohim as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Accurately handling the scriptures, is it not? Titus 1 and verse 9. Holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and to refute those who contradict. Believe me, there will be those that will contradict. So what does that mean? We have to be solidified in Yahweh's word. We have to understand what we're to be doing. And we have to do it year after year after year and make it a part of our beings. So that when someone comes along and says, hey, I agree with most of what you guys teach, but hey, what about this? I want to show you this. Come follow me. That's what happens. It happens. It says, in accordance with the teaching. What is the teaching? Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting there in verse 16. It says, all scripture. What did they have? All scripture is inspired by Elohim and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of Elohim may be equipped, or adequate, equipped for every good work. We know there are teachings out there. Law was done away with the first day or the eighth day, as some say, that is a Sabbath rather than the seventh day Sabbath. It contradicts Yahweh's word. There's no need for baptism. Just believe. Well, we know that's not true. There's false prophets setting dates for the Messiah's return. Even that itself is prophesied, that there would be false prophets. There's false teachers claiming that they are Yahshua the Messiah and using his name. Different names for the Heavenly Father and the Son. We know that's out there. Have we studied Yahweh's name? Do we understand Yahshua's name? Do we understand it's not Yahweh, or Yahweh Hushua, or some of these other names that are out there? And they, a lot of them believe what they believe, but, and they may be sincere in it, but they're sincerely deceived, I believe. Different names for the Heavenly Father and Son. False days of worship because of a wrong calendar based on vernal equinox. Maybe that's not so clear. Do we understand where the vernal equinox came from? Do we understand how Yahweh's calendar is set up? We have literature on it. You must be physically circumcised. Wasn't that covered in Acts 15? But there are those teaching that today that have Yahweh and Yahshua's name correct. Men must wear prayer shawls and kippahs when praying. Do we believe that? Can we prove that it's not correct? What about wine for Passover instead of grape juice? How about leavened bread for Passover instead of unleavened bread? I mean, can we refute it? The 15th instead of the 14th for Passover. What does Scripture say? But can we show someone? And the list goes on. If we are here because we believe that in doing so, we are not compromising the truth of Yahweh's word, then I think Scripture bears out that we are here for the right reason. And we'll be blessed for it, won't we? If we have our priorities straight, we're honoring our Father and worshiping Him first and foremost in our lives. And we should also be here to love and fellowship with the brethren, but we cannot put that as a priority over obeying Yahweh. Let's not do a flip-flop on Yahweh's commandments, but let us have our priorities straight according to His word. May Yahweh bless.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Yahweh, we are thankful for the opportunity You give us to observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, knowing in our hearts what it really stands for, that we remove, or the ancient Israelites were removed from Egypt to head towards the Promised Land, knowing that if they keep true to Your word, that they will enter. But we know for ourselves, as they found out, that it is hard to live this life. But we ask that Your Holy Spirit be with us to guide us and protect us in all that we say and do, so that in the end, when Yahshua returns, we may be benefit to the claim that He will give to us, that we will celebrate the kingdom with Him with Yahweh and Yahshua in His kingdom. We ask this in Yahshua's name. Hallelujah. Okay, I'd like to start off with a scripture which Elder Brett almost ended with. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. We read there, "Study to show thyself approved unto Elohim, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the truth, the word of truth." Yes, we are to study Yahweh's word. And I was a teacher for 37 years, the reason the students studied was to take tests, not trials. Well, I'm sure that they had many times thought taking a test was a big trial, but tests are important. And the scriptures relate to us some tests that we have to be aware of, and we have to prepare ourselves for them. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy 6, beginning in verse 11, we read there, "But thou, O man of Elohim, flee these things and follow..." Maybe I should back up so we know what these things are. Back to 7. "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." In verse 11, "But thou, O man of Elohim, flee these things and follow after righteousness, devoutness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." So this verse 12 tells us a test, if you want to call it the first test, that we have to be aware of, and that is, what do we profess? What do we profess? Basically, what does profess mean is what we say from the heart. not confess, but profess. 1 John chapter 1. First John 1 verse 5 reads, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that Elohim is light, and in him is no darkness at all." What I'm going to be bringing out is the important word there, the word light. Going back to the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 verse 6. We read there, "I, Yahweh, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee a covenant for the people, for a light of the Gentiles." Just reverberating the idea of the light. Back to the New Testament, John chapter 1. John 1, verses 4 through 9. This again we should recognize, speaking of Yahshua. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Verse 6. "There was a man sent from Elohim, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the light, or that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not." So speaking of Yahweh, Yahshua, as being the light of the world also. Acts chapter 26. Acts 26, verse 12. Acts 26, verse 12. "Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the goads." Verse 15, "And I said, Who art thou, Master? And he said, I am Yahshua, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from power of Satan unto Elohim, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by the faith that is in me." So, speaking again, Paul is to be sent as a light to the Gentiles. 1 Thessalonians verse 5. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 4, beginning there, verse 4 through 8. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake thee, or to overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light, and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober." Verse 7, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, for an helmet, the hope of salvation." So here we are told from the scriptures that we are representative of the light also. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter 2, verse 9. We read there, First Peter 2, 9, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So we are called out of darkness into Yahweh's light. And this contrast of night to day or light to darkness is a test that we must profess. We must recognize that we being set apart as the light of the world is that we must profess our faith to the world. Going back to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. First 12 verses. 1 Timothy 6, beginning at verse 1. "Let as many servants as are under the yoke account their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of Elohim and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Master Yahshua Messiah, and to the doctrine which is according to righteousness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmising, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is righteousness, from which withdraw thyself." Verse 6, "But righteousness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we carry nothing out." This is what we read before, just good to repeat it. "And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in the destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of Elohim, flee these things and follow after righteousness, devoutness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Here we find out, reading all these scriptures, as to what our desire should be. And just using again verse 12, profess a good profession. What is our desire? Well, certainly we know that we should not desire earthly things because they do not benefit us in the long run. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 21. And we read here that, or knowing that we are to follow Yahweh's will, in verse 21 of Matthew 7, we read, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Master, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." It is Yahweh's will that all men be saved, but not all will be. And that's what we should have our desire to be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2, beginning with verse 1. Through 4 we read, "I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all righteousness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of Yahweh our Savior." verse 4, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. But what must be, what does the scripture say that we must do to accomplish this task, this desire? In James chapter 1, James 1 verse 12, read there, blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried he shall receive the crown of life, which Yahweh hath promised to all them that love him. So here in this verse we are told that if what we need to do is to receive this crown of life, and that should be our desire. That's the end product of what we are spending our lifetime trying to accomplish. And how do we do this? As we read there, provided this, what it was promised to all them that love him. And in John chapter 14, how do we show our love? John 14 verse 15, we read there, if we profess our love to Yahweh, verse 15 says, we are to keep his commandments. If we love him, if ye love me, this is Yahshua, keep my commandments. So what our desire should be is to keep the commandments that Yahweh has provided for us and told to keep. And I think it should be obvious that if we do follow our desire, that we will accomplish the task, the goal that we have, or that we have set for us of keeping or being promised the everlasting crown of life. Going back to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 3. We read there, and every spirit that confesseth not that Yahshua Messiah is come in the flesh is not of Elohim, and this is that spirit of the Anti-Messiah, whereof ye have heard that it should come, even now it is ready in the world. So we have to recognize what we must do. And what we must do is to confess, or to make a proper and a willful confession. And what must we do? In Matthew chapter 5, when we make a confession, in other words, verbally saying from our heart, Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, we read there Matthew 5, 18 and 19, for verily, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall not in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So we must not only teach, but certainly do Yahweh's commandments. This is another test, the test of confession. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. We read there, Ephesians 4, 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Master, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, but alienated from the life of Elohim through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so but ye have not so learned the Messiah. If so that ye have heard him, and have taught, and has been taught by him, as the truth is in Yahshua, that ye put forth or put off concerning the former conversation or behavior of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye may put on the new man, which after Elohim is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this test that we have to do is to, as when we are baptized, that we bury ourselves under the water, we must remove that old self from our being and take on a new man, a new creature. This we must profess and confess by our conduct. Because whatever behavior we may have had before immersion, our conduct had best change after it. This is a test. Will we do that, or have we done that? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians 1, verse 27. We read there, only let your conversation or your behavior be as it becometh the evangel of the Messiah, that whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the evangel. So our conduct is another test that we have to satisfy the conditions that we promised when we were immersed, so that we can claim to be a member of Yahweh's people. First Thessalonians 5, verse 14. First Thessalonians 5, chapter 14, we start there and read, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of Yahweh, in the Master Messiah Yahshua, concerning you. Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. So what we are to do, just like when we started out with the scripture where we are told to study, and in process of studying, we are certainly trying to prove all things, not just take anybody's word for it, because we are responsible for our own end. So we must prove all things. So that is another test, that we are to use our knowledge to be able to tell the difference between right and wrong. In the 1 John, there is a listing, you might say, of test questions, if you want to put it that way. In 1 John, chapter 1, verse 6, we read there, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not know the truth. So this scripture indicates the idea of what we can call false fellowship. If we, as the scripture says there, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we are a liar. Verse 8. We read there, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. We are not honest with ourselves if we say we do not sin. Another idea of false representation. Going down a few verses to verse 10 in 1 John chapter 1, we read, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. this is indicates the idea that one who says that we have, if the person says he has not sinned, then they profess false righteousness, because we all know that we all sin. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So if we say we know him, and we don't keep his commandments as we are told, this tells us that we have a false allegiance. We say we love him, but we don't follow his commandments. We bear forth that we are not really aligned to him. 1 John 2, verse 6. He that saith he is abiding, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. If we do not walk as Joshua walked, then our behavior is false. We are not honest, not only with ourselves, but also we're not honest with people around us. In fact, we're not honest with anyone. Verse 9 of 1 John 2. We read there, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. So here we are not honest with our brother. If we say we are in the light but we hate our brother is not our sibling, it's anyone of the faith. 1 John 2 verse 15. We are told quite explicitly here that we are not love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This indicates false love. We are pointing our love in the wrong direction. We are loving the physical world and not worrying about or not pointing our love towards Yahweh and Yahshua. We've gone through many scriptures where we're indicating things that we have to confess to indicate to Yahweh that we are willing to do what we are told to do to accomplish our goal in life, to seek his kingdom. But we do know that we have things stacked against us, and we want to know, we should try to pass all these tests these scriptures indicate to us. And those scriptures, the tests that the scriptures point out, first off, do we profess Yahweh and his ways? Do we have a strong desire to do Yahweh's will? Are our teachings of Yahweh? Is our behavior good and honest? Do we take the time to properly discern right from wrong? Is everything we do and say pleasing to Yahweh? If we answer yes to all of those questions, then I think we're in pretty good shape. But I think we all realize our faults, our shortcomings, that we can't do all those things. It's impossible because of human nature. But we can truthfully say we would certainly like to be able to say yes to all those questions, but it's not very likely. But if we do say that we can accomplish all those tests, pass them, or answer yes to all those questions which I just went through, then we are doing nothing more than deceiving our own selves, because we cannot pass those tests. We have to rely on Yahweh's Spirit to help us to accomplish things. Whatever talents we have been given, we all know that we should make use of them. As what would happen if we do not use our talents, very likely they will be taken away from us. Just as the talent of the money given to the 10 and the 5 and the 1, the 10 and the 5 showed profit when the master came back, but the one who kept one and buried it and told him that I was afraid what would happen, the master took away that one and gave it to him that got the most. So we have to make sure that whatever talent we are given, no matter how small it may seem, benefit yourself and myself to make use of it and to use it. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, beginning with verse 24. We read there, "Then he which received one talent," this is what I was talking about, "came and said, Master, I know thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His master answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him that hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he that hath, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So whatever we do in this life, we must set our goals to be that which will benefit us. And the only benefit that we can gain in this life is what Yahweh promises us, that if we follow him and keep his laws, that he will allow us to reign with Yahshua when he returns. And I pray that we all accomplish that task, because what we have to look forward to, if we are aware of what is going on in this world, is nothing too promising. We have to allow the faith to exceed what we see. May Yahweh help us to do that. Hallelujah.